My name is Chaim and I'm a sexaholic. Okay, we're doing step 10. That's where we're holding. And this is number 2 of step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. We spoke about, on the last go-around on step 10, we spoke about a few things, just to recapture quickly. First of all, we spoke about the continuing to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong. So basically, the idea of, yes, we're going to be wrong. Not a big deal. We will make mistakes, and when we make the mistakes, we will correct them. And it's part of life. We know that this is just who we are. We are people that mess up, that do things wrong. We are people that have a screwed up mind, and we're going to make mistakes. And when we do it, we simply promptly admit it. We admit it. And that was the big emphasis on the last workshop we did. When I make a mistake, I admit it. I don't protect it. I don't guard it. I don't make believe it didn't happen. I don't rationalize it. I admit it. And that takes off the huge burden. I don't admit the other person's mistakes. I admit my mistake. I don't try to get the other person to admit their mistake. I admit my mistake. And we spoke very heavily on this idea and this concept of that I'm a diseased person. I have a lot of unresolved issues. And even if I go through the first 9 steps, I still have a lot of unresolved issues. I still have problems in my life, and I still have character defects and desires and temptations that will lead me to mess up, and therefore I will continue to make mistakes. That was the first part of basically the workshop last time. And the second part was, I'm the key. And that's what I really want to continue with. I'm the key. We spoke heavily about the idea of, in any situation, in any circumstance, in anything that goes on in my life, I'm the key. I'm the key. And I can make those changes. I could make that circumstance turn around. What that means is not, if I don't have a job, get a job. That doesn't mean if my wife is acting horrible, I could change the situation where all of a sudden I make a prayer and all of a sudden she's in a good mood. It doesn't mean if my bank account is empty, it becomes full. I'm the key. It means that I could take the actions necessary where I could walk away from any circumstance happy, content, and calm. And we spoke about how on page 133 in the white book, he talks about this idea where this guy is sober for 2 years and he tells his wife an ultimatum, basically, where you now need to shape up. I've done all the work. I'm sober. I'm clean. I've gone through my steps. I've done what I needed to do. You shape up now. And if you don't shape up, the marriage is over. Not because of me, because of you. And then all of a sudden, they had this awakening of, I'm the key. If she's in a bad place, if she's hurting, if she's uncomfortable, then I am doing something to cause her that pain. Oh, but what about her? Maybe she has her issues. Maybe she has her issues with her parents. Maybe she had a bad day. Maybe she got a period. God knows what could happen. How did I become the key when she got her period? How am I to make this marriage work? I came into my house and everything is flying. My kids are acting up. They had a horrible day in school. How am I the key if my kids had a horrible day in the school? And he explains that we are, in a spiritual and an emotional and in a physical way, we're connected to the people in our lives, primarily our wives and children. We're connected emotionally to them, which is self-explanatory. We're connected to them physically. We created them. And we're connected to them, our wives. We just to explain, what does that mean? We created our wives. We created an Essanon. We created, we changed her. Psychology-wise, it's proven that when a woman finds out that her husband is a sexaholic, there's something that in her brain changes forever and ever. It's an automatic like switch. She will never function the same way. We changed her. We created her. And then spiritually, by marrying this woman, we connected on a very intimate, deep spiritual level where there's two halves that became one. And according to all understandings, that's what happened. There's a certain spiritual real belief. This is not about religion. This is not about Judaism. This is not about anything. This is about a spiritual, the whole program is spiritual in nature. There's a spiritual union. I cut that spiritual union in half. I destroyed it. I come home and my wife is in a bad place. I could heal that spirituality. I could create a certain healthiness with my children, with my employee, with the people on the street, with people in meetings, with the program, with other people. If I feel anger or hate or resentment towards somebody in program, I could change that. I'm the key. And we spoke in length basically on the marriage concept and on the children concept and on all our relationships, why I'm the key and how I could make those changes. If I'm in a spiritual place, you know, I'm okay. And in short, basically, the idea is very simple. And we say this in program all the time, and it makes all of us very, very uncomfortable. If I am disturbed, there's something wrong with me. What do you mean? If I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me? You just cracked all over me. That's why I'm disturbed. You just knocked me. You just hurt me. You just belittled me. I come home after a long day's work, and my wife looks a certain way. That's my issue? And that's how I used to come home. For years in program, cannot get the thought out of my head. You could ask the old timers why my wife is not in a full face of makeup, why she's not looking gorgeous like if she's walking out to a wedding. I just worked the whole day, and now I'm working on not looking at other women, and now I come home and my wife is looking that way. How am I the key? How am I the key? How do I change that? I don't know. But over the past many years, I'm coming home. My wife is looking gorgeous. She ain't in high heels. She ain't wearing a full face of makeup and a shape. And she ain't pulling me in like on the movies, you know, like they're basically ripping off my clothing as the door opens up. She's not doing that. By you it is, you're saying. But it's not happening. So what changed? So what changed? What changed? What changed is I'm the key. How do I come home? What is my coming home? For years, I'm emphasizing in my head and to everybody else in the world, you don't understand. You don't get it. I'm a sexaholic. I'm a horny bastard. I'm coming home. I need my wife into it. And if she would only change, I would be happy. If she would only give me sex, if she would only give me sex in a certain way, if only I would have more money, if only the world would change. So if only I could write up a list and give it over to Santa, to God, to whoever, fill these dreams, I will be content. And what the program says, if there's something disturbed with me, I'm at fault. I'm the problem. I'm the key to a happy, joyous, and happy life. And this concept needs to be drilled into my mind on a daily basis. Because the moment my happiness comes from whether I'm getting sex or not, from whether I have enough money or not, for whether my children are going in the ideal situation to the ideal schools under the ideal way of my brain for that day understanding what they need to become, I'm screwed. I'm screwed. I'm the key. I can make things change. Not by changing others, but by constantly changing myself. And that's the 10th step. The 10th step says very, very clearly, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. For once and for all, I'm wrong by thinking that if only. I went to Manhattan yesterday on a business trip, right? I'm feeling like absolute garbage. First of all, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Okay, you know, I could put on a facade for the whole world like I'm this big guru in business. I'm not. I don't know what in the world I'm doing. So I'm feeling inadequate, but yet my outsides, I need to show like I know Eric. I'm sitting with people, there's women there. It's uncomfortable. The whole situation is just uncomfortable. Then going to the place and coming back from the place. So it took 3.5 hours to get into Manhattan. I got to my meeting an hour late. I get into the place and nobody's in the office anymore because everybody's busy doing what they're supposed to do because I'm an hour late, right? And we called and we did the appropriate things. And they came back, and the whole situation was very, very uncomfortable. It was just an uncomfortable situation. And then they started to grill me on questions and back and forth. And it's like, you don't even know what to do with yourself. By the time I got out of there, get to my car, you walk down one street in Manhattan, and it's like you see more than you've seen if you're working the spiritual program, more than you have seen in a very long time. And I'm feeling like crap. I'm just feeling like I want to die. And I called my sponsor, I got into the car, and it's like, the first thought when I walked out of that building, before even getting into the car, is like, I can just walk down a few blocks. Not for lust, God forbid, who would ever think about lust? But just a little, like, you sat in the car for 3 hours, you're in a big business meeting, take a breath of fresh air. Okay, it's 95 degrees, and you're dying out here, but the brain is like, just get to my car, open the door, and make a phone call. And that's what I did. The way it would have worked a few years ago would have been, you know, I got uncomfortable and I told the people off at the meeting. I didn't even show up to the meeting because I was running so late. I walked down the street for 10 blocks. I'm entitled. I needed a drink and I was the butt to go. And then there was a porn jar and then I didn't realize. And then why would God do this to me? And I would always end off with, and why would God F me? Like, I'm just trying to support my effing family. Like, what does God want? And this was my way of thinking. Like, I'm the key. I have a choice to decide today when I look at a woman, or I see a woman, or I'm at a bagel store. I'm the key to decide in my head. Of course, the first thought, if at certain times, the first thought would go to, of course, she wants to be with me. But what do I do with that thought? I could take it and drink it in and lust after it and eat it up alive. Or there's another attitude. Of course I could blame everything on God. There's another attitude. Of course it's not my fault that my wife, my children, my job, my life, my religion. I'm the key. I can make those changes happen. I could really start changing. And what's so interesting is that the first 9 steps are all changing the past. It's all geared to the past. My inventory on the sex addiction, finding a new God. It's removing the old beliefs to a new belief. It's working really on the past. My 4th step, my 5th step, my character defects, 6 and 7, 8 and 9, is all on the past. So step 10 is the first time it's like, you know something? Enough with the past. Let's leave the past to the past, and now we're having a new change of attitude. I'm the key. It's a new attitude. Continue to take personal inventory, and when wrong, just promptly admit it. Let's look in the future. Let's take one day at a time. Forget about all the history. Forget about all the crap that went in my life. Forget about all the trauma. Right now, right here, today, where I'm holding, I'm the key. I'm the key. Like somebody shared today in the meeting. I could be in gratitude every day, or I could sit in the pain every day. I could look at the negative of my life, I could look at the positive of my life. I'm the key. I could wake up with those choices. The reality is my brain automatically goes to that negativity. My brain automatically goes to the place of telling me that I'm useless and I have nothing to offer. And anyway, my whole business is collapsing anyway, and it's the truth. And I'll bring you proof that it's the truth. You know how? And then my brain starts. And then 20 minutes later, I pick up the phone and I make a phone call. And I'm fuming and I'm angry and I have 20 different reasons why my business is collapsing. Didn't collapse in the past 4 years. Why is it collapsing today? Why? Because I'm not normal. But I could take inventory, I could admit it, and I can move on in life. That is the key to step 10. And that is really the key to the whole program, is finally pushing everything to the side and having that new change frame of attitude. Am I coming home for everybody to serve me, or am I coming home to serve everybody else? Am I bringing peace into other people's life, or am I waiting for other people to bring peace into my life? Am I concentrating on what I could give to this world, or am I concentrating on what this world could give to me? Am I concentrating on the people who I've harmed so deeply and terribly on what they're going to still give me? Or am I going to concentrate on what I still give them? When I get rejected for sex, which basically is not a rejection. It's basically saying, I'm not up to it. You in the mood of pizza right now? I'm not in the mood of pizza. Cholent, I'm not in the mood of cholent right now. Somebody offers me and I say, no, I didn't reject that person. Right? If I want sex, which I do want right now, I wanted it last night, and I'm going to want it in an hour from now, and in 5 hours also. If my wife doesn't want it all those times, doesn't mean I'm rejected all those times. It means I'm screwed up in the head. I could change that frame of attitude. I could change that. I could change that attitude. I really can. And it's unbelievable. How could I change that attitude? I was listening to a CD yesterday. It's not because I'm like, you know what I mean? I was listening to a CD yesterday, and he spoke about this concept. And he said it so beautifully. He quoted from the big book over here. This brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Basically, step 10. When I go along, as I go along to the future, any mistakes or things that happen, I could take a quick inventory. It doesn't have to be like we spoke last week, this long thing. Oh, I screwed up over there, okay. And most of the time, if I'm disturbed and I screwed up, then my brain is going to go to, what did that person do wrong? A change of attitude, what did I do wrong, right? We vigorously commenced this way of living as we clean up the past, okay? That means the 24 hours before. We've entered the world of the spirit. Listen to what step 10 is. It's mind-blowing. We have entered the world of the spirit. What in the world does that mean? We have entered. It's not like all of a sudden like a spirit hits us. It's not all of a sudden we're living it. We've entered a different world. A world of where I take responsibility. A world where I could actually set forth my destiny. A world where I leave, you know, where the big book talks about of step four, where if only the play went according to what I think, if only the actors went according to what I believe, if only where we stop telling God what to do, but we listen to what God wants us to do. We enter a world of a spirit, we are above the world. It is a different world. A day like yesterday, I would have come home and given such guilt to my wife for absolutely doing nothing. I would have given such pain to my children. Just by me being in their presence, I would have given off feelings of just, I'm not satisfied with you, with my children, with you children. I'm just not satisfied with you, wife. You're just not enough for me. People in community, next door neighbor, whoever. I would have given off venom. Yesterday, before I went to sleep, my wife told me, she turned around to me and she's like, it doesn't even seem like I had a hard day yesterday. I gave off happiness. I gave off calmness. Because I am. Was it hell yesterday? Was it painful? Was it difficult? Did I sit in the car and call my sponsor and then tell him how I feel like I'm in this little like shtetl in English, a little like hut, little hut type of community in Lakewood, New Jersey, and there's a freaking world out there of people running around not dressed. What am I doing here? That was that feeling. But I didn't live in it, and I didn't obsess in it. I made the feeling. We spoke for a half, and I was able to get to my office. We're living in a world of the spirit, in a higher level, in a different existence. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue in our life. Continue to watch. This is the simplicity of the program. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And like I said before, and I think we're going to end off really with this type of idea. How do I enter the world of the spirit? What do I do at the end of the day when the pain hits? When it's about me, when I am angry, because the feelings still come up. It's not like I'm not getting angry. I am getting angry. I am feeling resentful. I am feeling entitled. I am feeling awkward. I am feeling uncomfortable. The reality is there isn't enough money. The reality is I need my children to turn out a certain way because that's what my brain says. The reality is I'm never getting enough sex. What do I do with all of that? When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Period. Again, when these crop up, This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Period. That is the entire step. That's the entire program. Once you go through actually all the steps, and what's it called? The feeling of fear crops up every single day for the last God knows how long, minus maybe a few days. Literally, a financial fear and worry. When these crop up, when these crop up, we ask God at once. We don't obsess about it. It's like a little monster. I wake up in the morning with a little pit in my stomach. It's called, your company's about to go down. What do I do with that? So either at once I say, God, please remove it and heal my soul. I am a broken, sick puppy. Next feeling. It used to go the other way, but now these are the feelings. I wish I could get laid right now. Ain't happening. God, please remove that feeling. Now, two things have happened for years in program and definitely before that. The feeling of finances cropped up and I fed it. This little, tiny, little bug. I fed it and fed it and fed it. By the time I finished the shower, this little tiny bug that I left outside the room, okay, or I brought with me into the shower, is now this huge monster screaming at me 50 reasons why your business is going down and you're not going to have enough money, and your children, and bar mitzvahs, you had your mom, and what, and your whole family, and everybody, and you're going to be where you were just 7 years ago, collecting garbage for a guy I'm going to what's it called, which I did. The first year in recovery, caught up cardboard boxes and dumped it into his wife's van and bring it to the dumpster. That was my job. That's where you're going to be. And I have 50,000 reasons of why my life is about to crumble. Because I fed it. Same thing with the sex. Not only are you not getting laid tonight, you're never going to have sex again. Your wife is for sure going to come up with reasons tonight and tomorrow and the next day. And you're never going to... And... You think that's it's happening, and then all of a sudden, and then I wonder why when I walk outside to the regular world, I'm bubbled up and I'm angry, and when I get to my desk, the only thing I want to think about is what's new in the world. I'm not watching porn, but let me check just YouTube something. Let me check Google's news. Why? I fed this little bug that became into this monster. But to keep it dumb and simple, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. And then basically, I'll finish off with this last thing and we'll end it. And if anybody has any questions. He finishes off step 10 and he says, to some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. It basically changed from a sex sense to a sixth sense. It has changed. Instead of looking at the world through lust and through money and through fill my void, we live in a world of literally in a higher level of living. And I know for myself, and I think anybody who's been in program for a while, and like the reading today in the morning has said, no matter what goes on in our life, if we are spiritually fit, we can literally live and float above that pain. Doesn't mean the pain won't hurt. It doesn't mean I won't be uncomfortable. It means that simultaneously, I'll have an intuitive sixth sense, knowledge that I will be okay, that the people around me will be okay, that I'll be happy, that I'll be content, and that life will continue to move on. If I walk around with the idea of I am the key, I could be happy, I deserve happiness, I deserve that, when those thoughts of negativity that cripple each one of us so badly, I don't naturally just walk around with positive thoughts of, oh, my children are doing so good, oh, my wife, oh, wow, I don't just walk around just shooting gratitude. I walk around with, oh, God, if you guys only knew what I had to go through yesterday, if you knew what it means sitting in a freaking hot car for 3.5 hours in traffic, if you only knew what I needed to deal with yesterday, you That's how I walk around. But if I could change that over to that sick, to that sixth sense, to that real life of happy, joyous, and free, then no matter what's going on with my wife, no matter what's going on with my children, and I'll finish off with this last thought. I meant to say this 100 times. If I have a pair of glasses that God gave me, and I scratch it one time with negativity, I scratch it another time with negativity, I fog it up with resentment, I chip at it with anger, I knock off a piece with fear, and then I come out into the world, of course the world looks so scary, and of course through those glasses it looks like I'll never support my family. If I clean that out, I created a more safer and happier world. Automatically the world looks much nicer and cleaner and better. If I got rid of that chip of fear off of the glasses, and I cleaned up that scratch, and I removed that fog, I automatically start viewing the world in such a peaceful, happy way. I look at my wife clean and neat and happy and joyous and functioning, and the communicational skills, and my children, everybody. It's automatically that way because I'm looking at the world with a spiritual eye. So I'm really creating the destruction in my life. I'm really creating the dysfunction in my life, me. Or I'm really creating happiness in my life by simply working the steps, by keep coming back to the meetings. And when the negative thoughts that come in on a daily basis, just by this meeting today, I got to be honest, I sat there at one point, it's like, I'm done with this program. I promise you, that thought hit me, I am done, I'm never coming back again. Or a bunch of retards, and I'm done with this whole program. This program gave me everything times 150. Where the hell did that thought come from? I have no idea. I simply say, God, remove it. That's what I got. Thanks. Wrap it up.